Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
The area today as temperatures will stay fairly steady in the upper teens to around 20. Winds will also stay to the northwest, gusting around 10 to 25, and then turning to the southwest later this afternoon and diminishing. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 8 degrees for a low, followed by highs in the mid-30s Tuesday with some partial sun as winds out of the west stay at about 10 to 15. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Supertalk 1270. Right now, it's 21.
Our own radio station, not Fargo, not the Twin Cities, proud to be Bismarck and Mandan's own Supertalk 1270.
Welcome to the Tech Ranch, live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Today on the Tech Ranch, we are honored to have Shelley Michaels Averly. Shelley will be discussing tips and tricks for Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. Later in the show, we will also be reviewing the app AutoVox. And if you're tired of getting unwanted phone calls on your cell phone, you will want to stay tuned for this app. It's very, very cool. At the control panel today is producer extraordinaire Jim Walsh. Jim, how are you doing? That's right. Cue up your mic.
Yeah, it would help if I turned the mic on.
That's right.
Not too shabby. I got that paper finished over the weekend. I had this paper that was due. It's due today, and I actually got finished a day early.
I keep forgetting that you're actually still a student.
Yeah. Well, I went back to school.
Yes. Yeah.
So to get a degree in marketing.
And you're using it well on the show
here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Jim, I'm sure it's impossible. I'm trying to read, and I'm not doing a very good job here, but it's almost impossible to hear a news broadcast and not hear about drones the last few weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of controversy surrounding this technology, and we're going to kind of explore drones a little bit right away. On the non-political side, we can talk a little bit about politics, but I think a lot of people are confused about what drones are, what do they do, I mean, why is there this big controversy about it? So I'm going to just ask you a question just right off the blue or off the start here. When you hear the word drone, what do you think?
Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
But aside from that, it's like a little miniature airplane without a pilot.
Okay.
It's like those airplanes you see in the park in the summertime, the guys who have the little remote control thing, and they go,
yep.
Basically, it's a high-tech version of that.
Okay. You're pretty much right on the money. A drone is a powered aerial vehicle that does not carry a human operator. So you're right on. But it can be autonomous. I know we've talked about autonomous cars before, or it can be piloted remotely. Now, autonomous means that it'll fly by itself.
Yeah.
So you're programming it.
Well, that goes back to the Cold War. They had ideas. The Pentagon had ideas for missiles that essentially were bombers without pilots.
Okay.
And they would drop the bombs over various targets.
Yep.
But it was all pre-programmed ahead of time. Thank God it never actually came online.
Yes.
They never actually went with it. They decided we have the ICBM, and that's scary enough.
Yes.
Well, spinning off of the whole Pentagon thing is, you know, when I hear drones, because I've been involved with the military troop support since 2003 across the United States, and I think about the service members that are sitting here in the United States, and they're actually able to fight overseas because of the drones, and so we're saving lives while saving lives.
Well, I agree. I think we can be more precise with what we do for military strikes with drones. I mean, there's just a lot of positive things about them. By the way, thank you, Shelley. I was going to introduce you, by the way. But,
you did. You said that I'm here.
Yes,
so
I guess that's true.
I just jumped in.
It works for
that.
Me. I'm
that's
cool.
Right. That's right. Well, probably the biggest thing that I think a lot of people think that drones are just these small things that you're talking about, Jim, and that's probably the most of what we are talking about. But there are actually drones that weigh over 40,000 pounds.
Big ones.
I mean, we're talking commercial type of aircraft here. So they range anywhere from under a pound to 40,000 pounds. They cost anywhere from a couple thousand dollars to tens of millions of dollars. So they're wide-ranging, and another term for them is UAVs, which is, I'm trying to, unmanned aerial vehicles. That's actually the more precise term for them. and the types that you run into. I'm just going to go over these one by one, and then I'm going to let Shelley and Jim chime in on these. The first types are target and decoy UAVs, providing ground and aerial gunnery, a target that simulates an enemy aircraft or missile. So that's the idea behind the target and decoy. So, Shelley, I know that you have a lot of experience in military affairs, which we will be discussing a little bit later, but go ahead and give me your synopsis of that type of UAV.
Well, you know, here in North Dakota, we've got the North Dakota Air National Guard actually sits in with a Predator mission out of Fargo. And so I think it's kind of cool that we've got the service members here that are able to participate in war from home, but in that same breath. They're flying missions during the day, and then they go home at night and have to all of a sudden retrain their mind to be a husband, a father, a mother, a spouse, you know. And so some of those things I think are interesting with what's happening in the military, because it's how do you decompose and come back to life, you know, your reality of day in and day out stuff, and then the next day go back to war and then come home at night. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So do you think that they kind of get an idea that they're maybe playing more of a video game type of thing because they're just sitting in front of this control panel? And I bet you anything that it looks like sitting at home in front of your Wii or whatever, obviously a little more complicated than that, but you're kind of detached from what's actually going on.
I don't know. You know, they see some pretty graphic things, I think, because, you know, they if they have to drop a bomb, they see the end result.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that you could go into that mindset that it is like playing a game, but I don't know.
Okay.
I think some of the things that I've heard from some of the significant others is that when the spouse comes home, it takes a lot longer. You know, it's not like you're just driving home from work and you get home and then you take out the garbage and get right engaged with fixing supper, that there's a little bit of time that they need to just unwind and just face the reality of, you know, life at home again. I don't know. I haven't sat behind one of those games, you know, and I don't even play Nintendo games or anything like that growing up. So, I think that you could mentally pretend that, but I don't think that you really go there.
I think it's pretty cool, though, that we are able to actually defend our country remotely. I mean, you really think about the significance of what's going on here. And the ability that at any given time, if we have a hotspot in around the world or whatever, that we can go there and you know, do what we need to.
Absolutely. Like I said before, you're saving lives while saving lives. You're not putting people up in the air in an airspace where they could be shot down by a rocket. You know, it's a Predator. So, I mean, yeah, they get shot down too, but it's not an actual life that comes down with that. So it is pretty cool that way.
Yep. Now, the target and decoy type of missions, basically, what they do, if you have, like our military on the ground in a particular area, they can actually put these drones up, and the enemy combatants will actually, you know, try to take out the drones as opposed to the people that we have on the ground. So, you know, they're using them as decoys. The other thing that I think is a big deal is reconnaissance. And I know our troops have a drone that's called a switchback. Have you seen these?
No, I haven't.
It's actually in a backpack, and they can pull this out and they throw it, as everybody can see that I'm actually simulating the throwing here right now.
He is.
But you throw this like you would throw a paper airplane, and that gives it enough oomph to kind of get off and get going, and they can actually control this. Think of it like with your tablet or your cell phone, and they can see the imagery coming in. So if they want to check out an area before they move into it, and these things actually run about $5,000. So it's very, very cool. So anyway, after the break, everybody, Jim, Shelley, and I will continue our conversation on drones and UAVs. And then after, a little bit later on, we will be talking about a brand new app that is really, really hot. So come on back, everybody.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
The Guru of Geek at facebook.com/thetechranch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
And we'll get to the proper introduction of Shelley here. Shelley Michaels Aberle has been a major force in troop support since 2003 across North Dakota and is and the nation, and is the founder, president, and CEO of Military Ovation, North Dakota's own troop support organization. And Shelley, if I read everything that I have on you here, it would be the rest of the show, but you have an amazing resume. Lately, you have been awarded the WDAY Gabriel's Angel Award, and in 2012, also the KFYR Hero Award. So it's really an honor to have you in the on the show here today.
No, thank you.
And we will continue our conversation on drones. And over the break here, you were talking a little bit about how our military is handling, you know, being deployed during the day and going home at night with the new type of warfare that we have. And why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's all day long. They're behind a setup. It looks like the computer screens. And if you Google it, you can see it. They've got some great pictures out there. But then they come home at night, and it's not just jumping into making supper and taking out the garbage. It's, you know, or the time that it takes them to get home from the office to the house isn't giving them enough unwind time. So when they get home, what I have heard from the spouses is that that their spouse doesn't engage as quickly, you know, in family activity. And I don't know if I would be able to either, you know, all day long if you see warfare and then you come home and you've got to go to a soccer game and get back in that mindset. It's two different mindsets. We teach our service members to stay engaged and stay right in the fight. And so it's hard to take and move your mindset back into the day in and day out civilian side. So it's, you know, we've got some interesting things that that they're working on, the psychological side, and making sure that everybody is on the same page. But I think it's going to be a long process.
I agree.
You know,
the technology is so new and moving forward so quickly.
Absolutely.
I was just looking at the stats from 2005 to now. In 2005, they figured they had about 100,000 hours of drone time. And they can't even count. They don't even have a process in place right now to count how many drones are in the air at any given time anymore. So the technology to keep track of things is actually behind the actual technology that we're using in drones. And so what they're saying is that it's being used. In fact, it is probably the preferred choice for the United States right now. And you can disagree with me, I guess, but I'm pretty sure that in any given situation, if they can use a drone first, they probably do.
I think it's great, actually, you know, in the military capacity. And I know that when the Air National Guard brought in the Predator mission, they've worked, you know, they're working hand in hand with the Grand Forks Air Force Base, who has the Global Hawk mission. And then they work hand in hand with the University of North Dakota for the training. UND got a big cut of the $50 million training package a couple years ago. And I think that's good for North Dakota to stay progressive on the positive side of, you know, the training side of it and bringing that in. People may not know, but we've been using the unmanned air vehicles a lot here in North Dakota along the flooding for the rivers.
Yep.
And I think that's, you know, it gives us up-to-date information right now. When, you know, you put a Black Hawk up in the sky to man that, that's a very expensive. I think they are flying at $5,000 an hour.
Yep.
So some of those things are great, but if you can get a lesser expensive option up there, we can do more.
And there are a lot of less expensive options than that. And I'm glad you made that transition because I wanted to move into, you know, I think that this is a very, very positive thing for what we do for our country and securing our country. But there's a lot of things that are going on at home here as well. And one of those, you know, as far as the civil and commercial applications, is the monitoring of rivers and other emergency type of things. You know, we were just talking about when I was on search and rescue many years ago, it would have been wonderful stranded on a mountain someplace trying to find somebody that if we had a drone to go up and look for somebody. And we have that today.
Yep.
You know, we can deploy drones for search and rescue missions. There's the possibility of moving packages, you know, FedEx, the Postal Service, whatever, in the future with drones. Another great service, I think. And then you and I were just talking a little bit ago, too, about our border patrols.
Yes.
And why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, the Mexican border, I mean, I think we are all very aware of how trafficked that is with illegals coming through and the drug trafficking. Right now, I know that the National Guard has got, you know, service members down there helping protect the borders. And it's not just the North Dakota Guard. There's all guards from across the United States down there, the Homeland Security part of it. But, you know, if you've got a drone on the border, you know, the people coming across, the drug cartels, they're not nice people.
And, right.
And they're carrying big weapons and they will use them.
Yeah.
And, you know, killing people isn't even a second thought in their brains. And so if you've got a predator, an unmanned on the border, I think that it saves, that's again, saves lives of Americans that are protecting the homeland. And I, you know, the Canadian border, they do it the same up there. We don't usually have a problem with the Canadian border, but people come through that border too. So,
sure. So, do you know if on the Mexican border, are we flying armed drones or are they just strictly for surveillance?
I don't know that.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I would think it's more surveillance, period, but okay. I don't know that at all.
Okay. It'd be interesting to find that out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, in California right now, they're searching for Christopher Dorner, who is,
yes.
You know, and they're actually using drones to try to locate him since he's got a passion to want to take out the LAPD. They've opted to put more, you know, drones up looking for him. And, you know, he's holed up in the mountains, so that's difficult finding people in those kind of situations.
Right.
Too,
right.
Like you talked with search and rescue. So
what are your feelings and where do you think maybe we crossed the line a little bit as far as drone use in the United States?
Well, I think that's everybody's biggest fear is that when do we stop using them for protection of our freedom and, you know, violating and using it for, you know, people's privacy being violated. And I think that's a really fine line because you could be out there getting information for the protection and you could retrieve, you know, some privacy as well. You know, I think it's scary, some of the things that could be done because like we talked earlier, it's fairly inexpensive.
And will probably continue to get less expensive.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, people stalking and, you know, tracking people and, you know, so some of those things are pretty scary, but just, you know, I think people's big fear is government coming into their, in, you know, into their backyard kind of thing. And there's a lot of good use for it, but I think it just needs to be really carefully proceeded with.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
do you see any other positive things maybe with drones? Any new applications maybe in the future? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. But. You know, I think there's a lot of great use. You know, like they talk about the weather and technology with agriculture. I think there's all kinds of great things that can be watched and monitored there. I think it's got a really, there's a lot of good use. But like with anything, you know, and that's with absolutely anything that comes good comes bad. And so it's just to make sure that we stay hand in hand. And technology is moving so fast. So, you know, I think that people were afraid of the telephone, too. You know?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and the television,
yes.
And the computers. And,
yes, and when trains pass 16 miles, you know, an hour and all this other stuff, yeah. We've gone through a lot of things in the last 150 years in this country, and I guess this is just a progressive type,
yep,
of thing. So there's a website called DIY Drones, and that's DIYDRONES.com. And it talks a lot about, you know, a lot of different things about amateur unmanned aerial vehicles. And we talk a lot about Arduinos on this program, too, and the ability to put an Arduino into a drone, a lot of cool things that you can do with this. I mean, you're talking about weather, for example. You can monitor weather. I mean, you know, the storms that we're just dealing with, the hurricanes, instead of sending manned aircraft into these, you can send these drones with Arduinos on them and do sensor readings and that type of thing. But just like you were talking about, it wouldn't be very difficult to GPS enable something and have a GPS on somebody's phone or whatever and literally have a drone following a person or a vehicle or whatever around. So there are some scary things that can go along with this as well. So I'm just throwing that out there, like you were talking about the good and the bad. There's actually things that you can put on your phone right now. It's called APM 2.5. It's an autopilot program that you can put on your phone and sync it to an Arduino to fly a drone. Crazy stuff.
technology.
Yes.
God bless America.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually took a look at a couple of these at CES. I had a couple of these things flying around, and under $2,000, and you can fly yourself. And some of these had ranges of 50 to 100 miles. So you think about the amount of time that you can have, you know, that you can fly one of these or whatever right from your phone. Absolutely incredible. So anyway, we are going to get into a little bit of social media now. The meaning that we scared everybody and the bejesus out of everybody there. So... Shelly, why don't you talk a little bit about, let's just go right into Facebook. I mean, you love Facebook.
I love Facebook.
So what do you use Facebook for?
Well, you know, backtracking, when I did my graduate research and studies back in 2004, I remember talking to my professors at an unnamed college in the state who I said, you know, I wanted to pursue social media as a form of communication. And they looked at me like, why? And it's amazing to me because they didn't view social media as a form of communication, period. You know, you had to do interpersonal or, you know, other forms of communication. But I look now and social media is one of the biggest and fastest growing forms of communication out there right now. And Facebook is, I was driving down the road one day when I lived in Grand Forks, and I thought to myself, who lives on Reeves Drive anyway? Because I thought, that's when I realized that Facebook pretty much is my community. So it's kind of cool.
Interesting, interesting. Well, we are going to go to our break shortly here. And after the break, we'll be talking about a very cool app called, and I'm looking up at my notes here, it's so cool I don't remember the name of it, AutoVox. And it's AutoVoxt. I have this on my phone as well. And the app is phenomenal. You can actually block phone calls coming into your cell phone, as well as very, very cool voicemail features. So after the break, everybody, we'll be talking to the founder of AutoVox. Come on back.
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
We'll see cloudy conditions linger across the area today as temperatures will stay fairly steady in the upper teens to around 20. Winds will also stay to the northwest, gusting around 10 to 25, then turning to the southwest later this afternoon and diminishing. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 8 degrees for a low, followed by highs in the mid-30s Tuesday with some partial sun as winds out of the west stay at about 10 to 15. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on SuperTalk 1270. Right now, it's 21.
Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
AutoVox is a powerful and flexible solution to help you manage phone calls and text messages by blocking unwanted phone calls, auto-respond to untimely text messages, and creating voice messages. And with me on the phone is the founder of AutoVox, Carlos Thomas. Carlos, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine as well. So you are a developer, software programmer, and you came up with this very, very cool app. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came up with the idea?
Well, basically, I've been working in computers all my life, pretty much. So I have a passion for computers.
Okay.
And with the surge of the computer world came the need. So I was really, really interested in becoming, you know, an app developer, but I never knew how.
Okay.
So, yeah, so basically I decided that I would first find a need. So I needed to have an app that solved someone's need. And in doing so, I found that people all over the world, they have a need to block someone, an unwanted caller, whether it be a bill collector or a telemarketer, at some point in their life.
So you develop this app, and it's on the Android Play Store right now. As a matter of fact, I actually downloaded this a couple days ago and put it on my phone. And I got to tell you, it's actually very, very easy to use. And I blocked my wife's phone calls a couple times already. So no, not really, but it is actually a very, very cool thing. So why don't you tell people, you know, how they go about getting this app and the kind of cool things that you have in this thing?
Well, first off, it's only available right now for Android. We're working on iPhone development, But as you know, that can sometimes be a lengthy process.
Yes.
So if you go to the App Store, the Google Play Store, that is, you can just type in AutoVox, AutoVoxt, and it should come up, and you just install it. It's real simple. You have three boxes to fill out. It's a registration process, and that's pretty much it. The app installs. It leaves an icon on your desktop, and you are ready to rock.
Okay, and the number one feature on there is the ability to block phone calls. Why don't you talk a little bit about how easy that is to do?
Okay, well, on the startup screen, there's five buttons, and one of those buttons being block calls. But what's different than most apps that may, there are a few apps out there that actually have this technology built in, but my app actually allows you to block individual numbers, block contacts, and it also allows you to block area codes.
Okay.
So if you have, just say, the beer collectors. I'm not beating up on or harassing beer collectors, but most...
It's a good place people, to start, though, yes.
I will.
Exactly, because a lot of people can relate to that. So let's say 888 is a number that always calls in. Most likely, it's going to be a beer collector or a telemarketer.
Okay.
So
right.
If you want to block an 888 number, you just go in, hit the block calls icon, and enter that 888. Once you block the calls, once you hit block, that's it for that particular area code. It cannot call you.
Sure. I think Jim's got a question for you, Carlos. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
He's ready. You were talking about bill collectors there. Jim's got kind of excited there for a second. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoa,
all right.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
So anyway, keep going, Carlos. I'm sorry.
Okay, so here's the second. Okay, not only can you block them, but here's the really, really cool feature about this app. Once you block that person, you can go into what's called the block numbers list on my app, and you can assign a message to that app.
Ooh.
And a lot of people ask what's the store feature for, and this kind of knocks two birds out with one stone, but I have a store feature that's built in. You can either set your own pre-recorded message, or you can purchase messages from my app store, and you'll see I have an icon that says bill collector. And if you hit the preview button on that, there's some pre-assigned messages that you can buy from my store for maybe 15 cents, 25 cents, and they range up and down, but nothing's more than a dollar.
Okay.
The store. And you can set that message. So anytime an 888 number calls, not only are they blocked, but they hear the message that you've either pre-recorded or you've purchased from my app store, which is the neat feature about my app.
So you can customize the response for a specific caller.
Yes, exactly.
Whoa.
I can see a lot of uses for that, Carlos. That's very cool.
And they're pretty hilarious, too. If you just go to the App Store and click some of the messages, I made them fun in nature, but it can also be used for business people as well. But the majority of the world, when they're dealing with bill collectors, they probably want something humorous planned for them. So I've accommodated that inside of my App Store.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more about the voice messaging. I know we're talking, having a little fun with bill collectors here, but there's other purposes that you can use your voice messaging system for, correct?
Yes, there is. And one of those features, here's a business purpose for it. Let's use the example of someone going into a meeting. And you're going into a meeting that's going to last you 35 minutes. But you may have some very important clients, colleagues, or family that may be calling during that period.
Okay.
And need to relay a message to them specifically. So let's just say that you go in, and the cool thing about my voice message feature, you can assign pre-recorded messages specific to that particular person. So you may want to tell your wife, that you're picking up dinner after work or something like that.
Okay.
So while you're in your meeting, you can assign that message for a certain period of time. So 30 minutes. You can set a message, hey, babe, I'll be bringing home dinner, so don't worry about going to the store or whatever. You set that for your wife. You can immediately get to the contacts and assign a message for your kids to tell them that maybe take out the garbage can or whatever you may want to tell them. And during that period of time, AutoVox answers these messages for you. So if your kids call, they'll get the message that was pre-recorded for the kids. Your wife, vice versa, she'll receive only the message for her. your other normal callers, they call in and they get your normal voicemail. So the phone interacts normally like your carrier provides.
Okay. Service. That's pretty cool. Now I see that you also have, I haven't used this feature on there yet, but you also have automated text messages as well.
Does the same thing. In that same case, let's say your wife doesn't call. She decides to text while you're in your meeting. So when the text goes off, you have the option to preset your text as well. So in the meantime, you want to take care of both of those features. You want to assign a voicemail and assign a text specifically for your wife. When she texts, the app automatically sends a text.
Okay.
And when she calls, she'll hear the voicemail.
Carlos,
so it's pretty
neat
feature.
It is very, very cool. Jim, do you guys have any questions for Carlos at all?
No, I'm going to go check that out.
Okay. It is a pretty cool app, Carlos.
It is.
So I think you got everybody talking to using it here. And why don't you tell us again how we can get the app?
Once again, you go to the Google Play Store, and you type in the name. You go into the search, and you type in AutoVox. That's A-U-T-O, V like Victor, O-X-T. And it should pop up because it is genuinely the only app that does these things. So, of course, you only see one AutoVox in the Play Store, and you click it, install it, and begin using it freely.
Very good. Carlos, it's been a pleasure having you on the Tech Ranch today. And everybody go out and get AutoVox. It is a very, very cool app. And after the break, Shelly and I will continue our conversation on social media. So come on back, everybody.
Catch this and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com. Turn to us, Bismarck Mandan's emergency weather information station, Supertalk 1270.
Follow your guru of geek everywhere he goes. Post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
And welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. Shelly Michaels Averly is joining us in studio, and we're discussing social media, in particular Facebook, and we're just talking a little bit about some tips and tricks. And the first thing I think that a lot of people ask me about is, how do you tag people, Shelly, since that's changed a little bit?
Well, you know, it really depends on what technology you're using the tag, because it's all different. And
okay.
I find I can't tag people and share things on my iPhone. I've got a little bit older iPhone.
Okay.
And so it really depends on what you're using, but it's, you know, like here to tag somebody on Facebook, I with my iPad too, it really depends on what you're using. So
is
you
that
have
what you
to,
have in front of you is an iPad right
yeah,
now? Okay.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you just you have to play around with your and become comfortable with your own piece of equipment, because it really is different from app.
I guess
to
I
app.
never even thought about that until you just brought it up right now. But, you know, to tag, I mean, now it used to be where you could just hit the highlight and hit the tag button underneath, but now you put an ampersand in front of the person that you or the event or whatever to tag. And a lot of people didn't know that from the change from a few months ago.
And I think that's one thing, is it changes so fast. Facebook changes a lot. And so then you've got apps that don't keep up with the changes.
Right.
And that's the frustrating part about it for me, too, is because, like, I cannot share on my iPhone.
Okay.
But I can on my iPad.
Right.
And, of course, on my laptop I can. So it's just basically to make sure that you're staying up. If you use social media a lot, it's just to stay up and continually make sure that your apps are updated, you know, from wherever you've downloaded them from. But they change so fast, and the apps don't stay up with the Facebook technology. And that's my biggest frustration with it. But I do use Facebook a lot more than I use Twitter. Working with my day job, I work as the development director over at North Dakota Teen Challenge. And we like to share some of the things that we're doing at Teen Challenge. And then I, with my volunteer role with troop support, people like to see the faces of the soldiers, and people like to, versus on Twitter, I mean, you can send the people, you know, with to the
right,
link.
Right.
But we use Facebook a lot for the troop support component, because people like to see and then they share. But, you know, with technology, you just need to stay up with whatever app you're using and keep it updated on your whatever you're using.
On your device,
Your device,
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what you use Facebook for. I know you're just talking a little bit about the sharing things, but you use Facebook probably more unique than anybody else that I know. So elaborate a little bit.
Well, with Facebook, you know, started, you know, at a university level a long time ago. And so I've been on Facebook for a long time. And most people use it to keep their friends and families, close friends and families, updated. I've really gone, and I use it for an information push from my personal page, as well as, you know, the pages that you can create. But, you know, I do I'm a board member on several boards across the nation with troop support activities. And so it's a constant sharing and pushing of information. And then you tie people and networking. It's a huge networking tool for me. And I do like it a lot better than Twitter. A lot of people like Twitter better than Facebook, but you really have to find what's good and works best for you. And I've been on Twitter since it pretty much was born. And through the years, I've just found that Facebook works better for me, and that's what I use. But I love it. It's a community and a networking building tool that I use. So
do you know, when you're talking about your information pushes, do you use like a Hootsuite or anything along those lines to help you, as you know, pushing information to Facebook and to Twitter and to LinkedIn?
Well, I use both. Okay. I use Hootsuite and I use TweetDeck. It really depends on, again, what if I'm using my iPad, or because everything's got a little bit of different application process.
I'm going to stop you right there. A lot of people have no idea what we're probably talking about. What is Hootsuite and TweetDeck?
They basically are a bigger. You can add a lot of different accounts and manage a lot of different accounts just from one place. So you can tweet a lot of different things. You can from one location. You know, Facebook. You can send stuff to different. YouTube from just one location, instead of having to go in and out of go into Facebook and then go into Twitter and go into. You can manage a lot of different accounts from just one location.
Right, and that's the wonderful thing with those, that you can go in and, you know, I haven't been in my Hootsuite account for a while, but you basically sync your Hootsuite to like your Facebook page, and if you post something in the parameters that you set up, it'll actually push a tweet out and push it to LinkedIn.
You can do a lot of things with just one push, and because it goes to a lot of different locations, and I do like that. You know, and then you've got the blogged networks where you can have them actually roll into your different accounts, and so you don't have to go in and put information, but sometimes you can't control that then, so it looks like you're specifically endorsing or embracing something.
Yes.
And I've actually gotten away from that. This past week, I decided to clean out my component of my Twitter because some of the tweets weren't necessarily what I was embracing, but the blogs that I follow were. So I've been doing some cleaning house lately with my Twitter especially.
Yes, so you have to be careful a little bit, and you can even go to Facebook and just the people that post things that are your friends on Facebook, because if they get shared across your network and your friends and family see those posts, that reflects on you a little bit sometimes, and you have to be very, very, very careful about that.
With security, you know, with everything, you've got to be really careful and cautious and stuff. And, you know, some of the things that I do a lot of on social media is the fundraising for.
Okay.
And we did that when I was the National Communication Officer for Soldiers Angels. We really started fundraising in a large capacity in social media way before other organizations were. And then, you know, like Coca-Cola does these big campaigns across America. I've stepped away from some of those large campaigns because some of them are just data mining, you know, individuals. So just be careful when you're involved with some of those large campaigns too. There's a really cool campaign coming up in North Dakota this week. The Giving Hearts campaign, Dakota Medical Foundation started it for, there's almost 200 nonprofits that are involved.
Okay.
On Valentine's Day, you can go to impactgiveback.org, and there's, you can donate for 24 hours. You can donate to one of the charities that is tied into Dakota Medical. And here in Bismarck, Mandan area, there's, I think, 20 different organizations that you can donate to. But across North Dakota, there's almost 200. So it's pretty cool.
What's the website again?
Impactgiveback.org.
Okay.
And last year, they raised almost $1.5 million for the organizations. Dakota Medical then gives it back to the organization that it was donated to. But it goes trickled through their campaign for the week. Or that one day on Valentine's Day, 24 hours. And this year they're targeting, they expect to hit about $2 million in 24-hour period of, you know, people just coming. You can donate $10 as, you know, the minimum, or as much as you want. So it's kind of cool.
So do you feel that technology has changed the way that we give to our charities?
You know, maybe across America. I think sometimes in North Dakota, no, people are pretty conservative still. They don't like to give their, credit card numbers, you know, into the internet. Okay. So it's always make sure that there's a security on the internet that you're giving to, or the whatever site you're
right,
on.
Right.
Huge, you know, security stuff can happen with your credit.
Yeah.
But, you know, just with the organizations that I belong to, people do like to give checks. They like to send their money in. You know, so the technology helps drive campaigns, but I think people are pretty conservative still about giving online.
Have you ever used a text message to give to, like, hurricane relief or anything along those lines?
Well, you know, the Red Cross actually was the first large organization across the United States to use that technology. And then I know Soldiers Angels was one of the third to do that. And so, yes, you know, it's simple. You can set that up with whatever company that's the driver of that. You can set it up to have, as you know, the text is $5 only, which is, you know, it's not like all of a sudden you know, you're getting all these big charges on your cell phone account,
right?
Or and you can do like up to 3 of those a day. And I have used that before, and it's kind of cool. It's really kind of cool when you're at a large arena and doing a campaign. I think, you know, some of the large concerts, they actually do that. You know, right now you know they flash a big thing on the screen. Right now, you know, you can give to, you know, the Red Cross, and, you know, $5 by texting, and everybody's got their cell phone,
yep,
with them in the crowd, so they can drive a lot of money forward in a short amount of time. They're kind of cool technology out there, but
yep.
You know,
was it pretty effective with Soldiers Angels?
You know, we did. When we pushed it, you know, there'd always have to be a push for it. So it's not just like some random time frame that people would do it. I think donations as a whole, people randomly give. But you'd have to have a campaign. It's like, you know, and pushing the information. And that's what we did with Soldiers Angels a lot, was at different events, just you push. And then you push on the internet push and, you know, social media push. And then it passes forward. But there has to be something attached to it, I think, that I saw.
Okay. And I know we're getting close to the end of the show here, but do you use Facebook for events, you know, to push events and that type of thing as well?
I do. But what we find, too, with that is if there's a registration process, that people think that because they're joined the event on Facebook, that they've joined the actual event instead of registering for it. So you have to be very clear.
Gotcha.
But I do set up events on Facebook that way, and then push the information over, because people can share it really quickly. But just when you're doing that, just to make it very clear that this is not, you're not registering here. You're,
yep,
you have to go to the actual site to register.
Yep. Shelley, it's been a pleasure having you on
Thank
the Tech
you.
Ranch today. And come on back next week, everybody. We will have great new information for you. Thanks, everybody.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on SuperTalk1270.com.